Everyone, let's open our Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, this is the Sea of Galilee, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckon unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes, which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. The Lord Jesus had begun his public ministry, and now as he's going along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, here are these two ships, and the men were active doing certain things, which we'll notice tonight, out of their ships. And this is when the Lord Jesus called these men to follow him. They were in the fishing business. And once the Lord Jesus gave the command that he did and they obeyed, they had perhaps the largest catch that they ever had in their business. We were noting this morning from Mark chapter 8, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The Lord Jesus call these men to follow him to become fishers, not of fish, but of men. Souls are worth more than fish. But I want you to pay attention as we read these scriptures to what they were doing when the Lord Jesus called them. Now here we are, believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we claim to be in fellowship. And it's wonderful to be in fellowship with Almighty God in and through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It's wonderful to enjoy the things of God with fellow believers as we gather to the person of Christ, as we gather to the ministry of the Word. It's wonderful. I have been saved for well over a half a century now. And I remember when a friend of mine, hearing that Louise and I had gotten saved, it was just a little after we had gotten saved, when he said to me, as he marked the calendar, I'll give you 6 months. I said, well, thank you, but I trust I won't disappoint you. I might, but the Lord Jesus will never disappoint you. Well, it's been over half a century, and it's getting better all the time. But when the Lord Jesus called these men, this was to be their last catch. Now, we know later, after his death, they came back to the Sea of Galilee, and Peter said, I'm going fishing. Others said, we're going with you. And once again, we see from the last of the Gospel of John that they had another big catch following the Lord's instruction. But in following the Lord Jesus Christ, this was their last catch. We read they forsook all and followed him. But notice when the Lord appeared unto them what they were doing. We saw in verse 2 that they were washing their nets. And I wanted to make mention, since I touched upon fellowship, look down at verse 7. We read the word partners there. These men were partners in the fishing business. And verse 10, here is the word again, partners. Now, this word that's used twice here in Luke chapter 5 comes from that word that we perhaps are quite familiar with, koinonia, which is rendered fellowship. If you were to trace that word, you would find that it is translated in several, four or five different English words. Distribution, communion, fellowship, participation. Here, partners. It means a joint participation. You know, we have a fellowship here. When people come and they're interested in joining a church like this, we say to them, well, where the real joining takes place is when a person is saved, when a person is born again, and the Holy Spirit of God joins them to the body of Christ, that this new believer becomes a member of the body of Christ. That's where the joining takes place. And we have nothing for you to join as such here. We simply receive you as a fellow believer, as a fellow member of the body of Christ, recognizing the union that we have together in the living Lord Jesus Christ. And we simply accept you as a fellow member of the body of Christ into this fellowship here. This is a local church, and we express this union and this fellowship here. But other than that, we have nothing for you to join. We simply recognize, if you are indeed a believer in our Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize the joining that has already taken place. Now, I'm stressing that, because here we're going into a week of Bible school. All right, we might be inclined to think, okay, another week of Bible school. You know, you got to have something for the children, and hopefully we'll have a good group, and some adults might come. It's another Bible school. Wait a minute. Let's not think in terms of it being just another Bible school. I was telling some today, and I think maybe I said this earlier from this platform. Some years ago at Shannon Hills, at that time we used to have about 300 children coming and staff members in the Bible school. But I was in Wesley Long Hospital one day with a family. A loved one had been taken into surgery. We had had prayer, read some scriptures with this one. And that one had gone into surgery. So I was sitting with the family. And I was sitting in such a way that I was looking right down the hallway. And here I saw six or eight people embracing one another and crying and coming slowly down the hallway. And I said to the people, I said, excuse me. I said, I'm seeing some people here who quite evidently need some help. And so they had stopped, and they were leaning up against the wall crying, and I went to them and introduced myself, and I said, I'm a minister of the gospel. Can I be of any help to you? I said, quite evidently you have received some bad news here or something. Something is wrong. Can I be of any help? And so one of them told me that this 12-year-old boy had just died. They had given him sodium pentothal. He was gone. Right across from us was the chapel room. I said, dear people, why don't we slip into the room here and let's have a little time together. So we did. And I opened the scriptures and read some scriptures and prayed with them and for them. And so as I talked about this boy, or as they talked to me about the boy, I got his name, and his name rang a bell in the back of my mind. I said, did he ever come to Shannon Hills Chapel? Oh, yes, he came to Bible school. I went and checked the records. And this was months later of the past Bible school. I checked the records, and there it was. I think it was on a Wednesday he had professed faith in Christ. That was most unusual. But we never know what will be the results of us participating in some way in an effort like this. Or at any time, any one of our services. We don't know who might come in. But I'm stressing the fact that we are in fellowship here. These men were partners in the fishing business. When we come into fellowship at a meeting like this, we are to realize that we are partners. We're in fellowship. We are a partners in the things of God together. We all have different functions, but we are partners in the things of God together. This is a joint participation. And we are reaching out now, seeking to win boys and girls as well as adults to our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are to look upon our being a part of this meeting as a partner in the business as such. We can work together, we can pray together, but it's a joint participation in this outreach. If you can't be here helping in the school, you can be praying, and please do that. But note, when the Lord Jesus called these ones, we read in verse 2, they had gone out of the boats and they were washing their nets. Now, we'll see a little difference when we go to the other Gospels. I'm thinking particularly of Matthew and Mark now. We'll see a little difference. But here, they were washing their nets. And this makes me think that the Lord Jesus called them at a time when they were washing their nets. He wants clean followers. He wants clean partners, if you please, as they go out seeking to catch men rather than fish. You know, some people are so clean-minded, others we wonder about. We're living in a dirty world. And when you go through Scripture, you cannot help but be impressed as to how much the Lord speaks about being clean, one way or another. Isaiah 52, verse 11, God said through the prophet, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Those priests functioning in the tabernacle and later the temple, they had to wash themselves at the laver. The Lord Jesus met with His disciples in the upper room and He washed their feet. And then He said, wash one another's feet. John 15:3, He says, now you are clean through the Word. Paul speaks about a vessel, a clean vessel, unto honor. God has much to say about cleanness. Oh, we still hear that little saying every now and then. Well, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. And some people think the Word of God says that. It doesn't. Louise's grandmother used to refer to, and I've heard other people use this term, speak of verses as a chimney corner gospel. Chimney corner gospel. That is, thinking certain sayings are in the Bible, but they're not. You know, you hear people say, money is the root of all evil. Well, that's chimney corner gospel. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Quite a difference. Louise's grandmother used to say when we would discipline the children, well, you know what's born in the bone, you can't beat out in the flesh. Well, I would put that on the chimney corner gospel also. But you hear people say, well, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, that's not in the Bible either. But I believe as we examine the Word of God, it is impressed upon us that cleanliness is godliness. God wants us to be clean disciples. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We're to be clean disciples. And I was thinking, too, that God is so careful about those whom He uses in the economy of God. I mean, when you read through the Old Testament Scriptures and read about the stipulations and the qualifications that God put upon those who would participate in any way in the things of God. He wanted clean people. I was thinking, too, of David prevailing over the giant with a sling and a stone, compared to the giant's armor of brass and huge spear. These were insignificant weapons to accomplish such a victory. And you're familiar with the story. He went down into the brook and he chose 5 smooth stones. Why 5? He only used 1. I forget the reference. I'll have to look it up. But the giant had some brothers. But he chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook. No ordinary stones would do for David. He was careful to choose those stones that had been in that brook maybe for many, many years, being tossed back and forth by the running water to smooth those stones. He chose 5 smooth stones. David knew that a rough, ragged stone might be deflected easily in flight, not a smooth stone. But he chose 5 smooth stones. David was so careful in using his instruments. Others were. God is careful in using His instruments. And these men were washing their nets when He said to them, cast out into the deep. Peter said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. I mean, it's just one of those days. They just aren't there. I made a little outline here some time ago. The workers' disappointment. Verse 2 of Luke 5. The workers' disappointment. They had toiled all the night and caught nothing. The believers' despondency. Verse 5. But the fishermen's delight. Verses 6 and 7. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they called their partners who came to their aid, and both ships began to sink, so many fish. The fisherman's delight. And then the Lord's direction or demand, verse 10. He said, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And verse 11, the disciples' decision. They forsook all and followed Him. They forsook all and followed Him. Wait a minute, fellas. Wait a minute. Hold it just a minute now. I mean, this is the best catch ever. Maybe we should think in terms of buying someone else out and getting one or two more boats here, taking on a few more men to help in this business. Maybe we should expand. I mean, look, both ships are about to sink. No, they forsook all and followed Him. Wait a minute, hold on. Why don't we have a going out of business sale? I mean, a 2-for-1 sale. No, they forsook all and followed Him. Now, it is true that the father of 2 of the boys we see in Mark's Gospel, I believe it is, was there along with some helpers. So perhaps they left the business to them. At any rate, it was when they were washing their nets, the Lord Jesus dealt with them and called them. And they forsook all and followed Him because the Lord Jesus wants clean disciples. Let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Come down to verse 16. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew. Simon and Andrew. Here's Peter and Andrew. We read of the other two in Luke chapter 5 as well. He saw Simon, or Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Let's read on. And when he had gone a little further thence, because he saw the two ships we read in Luke 5, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. So they forsook all and followed him. So maybe they left the business of Zebedee. Maybe Zebedee said, okay, I'll buy you out. We don't know. We don't know all the details. We do know this. They forsook all and followed him. But now look at verse 19 again. The Lord Jesus came to James and John, who were in the ship, mending their nets. Now, some people might say, well, you know, this is contradictory. In Luke 5, it says they were out of the ships or the boats. Well, there's no contradiction. You can understand that quite a number of things will be carried on here in a relatively short period of time. A lot of activity. But my point is, they were mending their nets. The Lord Jesus called them when they were washing their nets. He wants clean disciples. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. He wants to use us as instruments, as workers together with God in the economy of God. He wants us clean. But now they were mending their nets. He wants careful followers. He wants careful followers. I mean, these men knew that if they had holes in the net, they were going to lose fish. They didn't want anything to hinder them in catching fish. This was their business. Well, we are called to reach people for our Lord Jesus Christ, and we should mend whatever nets as are necessary to be effective in the service for the Lord. You don't see people mending nets so much today. I mean, they do, but they have different kinds of nets today, and I suppose in some instances it might be cheaper for them, if it's really a bad tear or something, just to get a new net. I remember, and I just passed this by you as we go, I was in Abaco in the Bahamas at Green Turtle Key. And this brother, who's an elder in the meeting, he goes out in a Boston Whaler with a big net by himself every day, or as often as he can, weather permitting, to catch fish. That's his business. And he was telling me about having this new net. I guess it would have been a nylon net, stretched over his fence quite some distance. He said it was a new net. I think it cost about $2,000. And he went to Florida. And while he was gone, a competitor there on that little island took some acid or something and poured over his net and ruined his net. Well, someone was telling me about it, and then I was up at Man O' War Key, and I was on a radio broadcast. Or maybe it was in a meeting, and the meeting was being broadcast, and it was put on radio, going all over Abaco. And so I used this because it was fresh in my mind. And I said in the course of my message, which is now going out on the airways all over Abaco and maybe a good bit of the Bahamas, I said just recently, I said a dear friend of mine, Curtis Hodgkins from Green Turtle Key, was telling me that some no-count rascal ruined his fishing net on his fence by pouring acid on it. I said, whoever that person was, I feel sorry for them. I said, because I know this brother, I know this family, and I know that net was dedicated to God. I know that net was God's property, and I feel sorry for the no-count rascal who did such a thing to God's property. Well, when he got back from Florida, people were telling him, hey, we heard on the radio that somebody ruined your net. He said, you heard it on the radio? On the radio? Yeah, we heard it on the radio. Well, news travels fast. Recently, a brother died at Spanish Wells, Bahamas, who in his later years, in his retirement years, was always mending nets. If you went to his house, he would be there mending fishing nets. Well, God called them at a time when they were mending their nets. God wants careful, He wants conscientious followers. We have to be careful in handling the things of God. You know, sometimes as I prepare messages and I pray to the Lord, Lord, now, you know what I'm about to give, what I have gleaned, what I have studied, what I have put down. Lord, is this right? And I think I hear the Lord saying, well, sort of. Sort of. But the Lord wants careful disciples. He wants careful followers. He wants conscientious, committed disciples. They were mending their nets. But look back up in Mark chapter 1, and you'll see the same thing in Matthew's gospel, so no need going there. Verse 16 of Mark chapter 1. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. As I said, no contradiction here. A number of these things would have taken place in a relatively short period of time. Washing their nets and mending them as they went, and then casting a net, checking it out. But my point is that there's a difference here. They were casting their nets. They were washing their nets. He wants clean followers. They were mending their nets. He wants careful followers. And they were casting their net. They were casting their net. Now, that calls for cooperation. That calls for commitment. So these men were called at a time when they were working together, as if to say, all right, now you are partners in the fishing business. Now you're going to be partners in the things of God. I want you to follow me. I'm calling you because I want you to be clean disciples. I want you to be careful disciples. I want you to be committed and cooperative disciples. And they forsook all and followed him. Well, I trust that we will think about this and meditate upon this. It's wonderful to work together in the things of God. And we are praying that we will see God work in this coming week. And only eternity will reveal what will be done. We know that seeking to win people to Christ is a matter of links in a chain. Some plant, some water, but God giveth the increase. We do long to be the final link in the chain, if you please, and have the joy and privilege of pointing some to Christ. But let us not underestimate the working of the Holy Spirit of God in the adult class, as well as with the children in the back. The Lord alone knows those children who will be reached with the gospel message and the homes that will be reached. We pray that God will work in our midst this week. I know I appreciate your prayers for whatever efforts I am privileged to participate in for this coming week, and I know that would be the same for all who will be participating in any way. So let's keep these thoughts in mind and let's be much in prayer. And we'll just close with prayer now. Father, we do thank Thee for the day and how wonderful that we are able to read in Thy Word and claim it for ourselves that we are laborers together with God. How wonderful that we have some part in this. We know that Thou art sovereign. Salvation is of the Lord. And we cannot create one anxious thought in the heart and mind of any individual, young or old. It must be the working of the Holy Spirit of God as He uses the Word of God. And Father, we will be giving out the Word of God this week. So in all of our activity here, maybe something that will be said by an individual, even at refreshment time, to some visitor, whatever is said and done, we pray that it will all redound to Thy honor and glory. Lead and guide and bless in this coming week. We pray in the Savior's name. Amen. Good night, and God bless you.